Hello, I'm Mike Salem. My dad, Pastor Salem, loved to spread the good news of Jesus to provide hope and encouragement to people all over the world through his biblical teachings and sermons. You will experience that truth from God's Word in today's message. Now let's join Pastor Salem.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're always happy when you open your doors for us and let us come in. And we come in to worship together with you all over the world. We don't know where it's all going, but we know by shortwave, we cover 90% of the globe. And so that's all in the Lord's hands. But when we worship, we all gather from all over the world at the throne of grace and worship the wonderful, wonderful God. So just thank you for tuning in. And today we're going to be thinking about the Bible and God. And so I'm surely enjoy that because we're talking about that wonderful Bible. We want to share some of the letters, and we just thank you all for writing. And before I share the first letter, I want to tell you about something that happens. I get questions all of the time, and if they're a spiritual question, we answer them the best we can. By far and away, the one question I'm asked the most is, can a Christian lose their salvation, eternal security, whatever you want to call it? Well, I've written a booklet on it. It's got about 10 or 12 pages, and we'll send it out with if you can send a gift with it, we'll send it free and postpaid on a free will offering basis, and it deals on 8 reasons from the Bible why you cannot lose your salvation. And so maybe you don't believe that, so why don't you read this and just write us in. We'd love to hear from you, and I'm going to give you the address in just a minute. But first of all, I want to give some of these letters that we have. And what do you know, but we got a letter from Narasaki City in Japan. And I want to share that letter. It writes and says, I am a Japanese DXer of 53 years old, and my name is Kenji Hashimoto. One of my hobbies is listening to long-distance radio stations. I'm pleased to have received your station, and I have pleasure in sending you this reception report. I live in Narasaki City, and we're situated about 130 kilometers west of Tokyo City of Japan, capital of Japan. I'm employed as a computer system engineer at Narasaki. I started DXing in 1976, so I've been interested in long-distance radio listening for 39 years. Having never listened to you before, I had an interest in your program. If possible, please tell me about your station's profile. I thoroughly enjoyed your program, and I end this letter with the hope that it will be of interest to you. Please remember me to the staff of your station. I'll be counting the days till I hear from you. I've already answered. I answered this the second day. I got it one day and answered it the next day. Thrilled to death to hear this dear man from Japan. And so we just want to pray that many will hear the gospel and many will believe Jesus, trust Jesus. And today we're going to talk about why we believe the Bible is the Word of God, the only Word of God. We'll get to that in a minute. Here's Thief River Falls. I can't give you anything. I appreciate your services much. I'm a 93-year-old wheelchair-bound widow in a nursing home. And so she can't give us anything. But I'll tell you what she can do, and you can all do. You can pray. Pray for the Christian Worship Hour. There's 3 things we have in mind. Glorify God, save the sinners, and comfort the saints. That's the story right there. Pray for us and stand with us and write. And get your pencil ready. I'm going to give the address in just a minute. But let me give you a couple more letters we got. This one is from Alden, Iowa. I am a student at Drake University in Des Moines, Iowa. I listen to your sermons whenever I can. I am grateful for your works of wisdom that keep me grounded when my faith is constantly under attack. Your sermon on thanks really helped me and helped me realize how important it is to recognize everything we have comes from God. It's all too easy to forget about God here at college, and this is what an important reminder for me. God bless you. We ought to pray for these students in higher education. And pray for the professors, oh God, if they would turn to Jesus. But I don't know how many will. Maybe some will. We'll leave that between them and the Lord. But pray for these young people that they'll know that there is a Bible, there's a God, there's a word from God. I'm going to have 4 sermons on why I believe the Bible is the word of God. This is the first one is today. And so you're just right to get in with us. Here's a letter from Culbertson, Montana. And they write, I feel truly blessed to listen to your Sunday morning. I'm 91 and my hearing is bad and I'm having a hard time walking. I do not like missing my own church, but to worship you makes my day. I walked with the Lord since the dirty 30s. Someday, Harold, you and I can share being farm boys when we were on the small farm in the 30s. We had so little, no crops, no grass. We learned the Lord does provide. Here's a little for your ministry. You do a great job. So this is a wonderful story, a wonderful letter. And I went through those 30s too. And we lost our farm, but we didn't lose our dear Lord. And God will always provide. One more. Listen to this letter. This isn't a letter. This was written on a check. Man sent us $500, wrote on the check from Ames, Iowa. This is for bombs to drop on ISIS. Now, we're not in that business. And so what we did, we cashed the check. And we were going to bomb them with the word of God. And so we're preaching to them. And we hope that's all right with you. Now, if you want your money back, we'll return it. But I do want to let you know that there is a handling charge. And the handling charge really runs high. As a matter of fact, the last one that wanted his money back ended up by he had to pay postage to get the mail back. So your chances aren't very good, but you can try if you want. So God bless you. Pray for this ministry. Pray for the ISIS that they come to Jesus, that they hear the gospel. They have a soul. Jesus died for them too. Pray they'll come to Jesus, and if they do, all the trouble will stop. That just that fast. So you write to us. It's the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. We'd love to hear from you, and you may want to send us a gift. We have to have your help. And if I got time at the end, I'm going to say a word about that. But we have to have your help. If you want to send a gift on internet, ChristianWorshipHour.com. You can send it from anywhere in the world. And so we're just going to look to you and trust that you'll help us and stand by. And God always provides. Now let's look at this. And we ask the question, where will you go when you die? We're all going to die sometime unless the Lord returns. Where are you going to go when you die? Well, I think most people want to go to heaven. So the next question is, how do you get to heaven? Well, how do you get to heaven? And therein lies the problem, because everybody and his dog has got a book on how to get to heaven. Christians have a book called the Bible. Muslims have a book called the Quran. The Jews have the Torah. The Mormons have the Book of Mormon. The Buddhists have the Tripitaka. The Hindus have their laws of Mano. The Confucius have the 5 classics, and on and on and on. So everybody has an idea on how to get to heaven, but they can't all be right. As a matter of fact, it's impossible because they contradict each other, and they got different ideas. And so what are we going to do? Well, it says, who cares? We've just got a book. Well, here's the way. There's only one way to heaven. One way. And there's only 2 places to go, heaven or hell. And you go to heaven or you go to hell, and it depends on what you believe. And so we believe the Bible is the one book, the holy word of God, the only reliable one. And I'm going to use 4 weeks to talk about why we believe the Bible and know that the Bible is the word of God. And so we want to look at today. We have to be careful, because I'm staking my soul on this. Is this correct? Am I teaching the right thing? I have 4 children. I love them, and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. I'm teaching them the same thing. I've been preaching in church for 71 years. I'm telling them, I better be right. I know I'm right because I got the Bible. And I'm going to tell you why. I believe the Bible is the Word of God because it comes directly from God. That's what the Bible claims. Yeah, we say, how did we get this book? Well, we have the answer in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly perfectly furnished unto all good works. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's what the Bible claims. That's what we believe. And so when we come to the Bible, we have the promise given to us in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. For the prophecy came not at any time but with the will of man. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit speaks to these people, and these men write as the Spirit of God leads them. And the Spirit of God leads them this by speaking to the hearts, by laying on their hearts. And out of that inspiration of that Bible comes a perfect, wonderful Word of God. So I believe the Bible is the Word of God because it is claims to be the Word of God. But there are other reasons. I believe the Bible is the Word of God because of its uniqueness. That is, it was written by, it took 1,500 years to write the Bible, 1,500 years. And it was written by more than 40 authors from every different, very different walks of life. 40 different men, kings, military leaders, peasants, philosophers, fishermen, tax collectors, poets, musicians, statesmen, scholars, shepherds, all of them come and teaching about the, teaching what God has laid on their heart, giving us that holy Word of God. And so we are told it also, it's given from different places. Moses in the wilderness, Jeremiah was in a dungeon, Daniel was in a high hillside in a palace, Paul was in prison, Luke was in traveling. All of these different places makes no difference. God's Holy Spirit speaks to them over 1,500 years. And it is written in different moods. Sometimes it's of heights of joy. Sometimes it comes from the depths of sorrow. Sometimes it's from confusion and doubt. It's written on three different continents, Asia, Africa, Europe. This wonderful, wonderful Bible. It was written in three different languages. Hebrew, the language of the Israelites, practically all of the Old Testament. Written in Aramaic, the common language of the people of the Near East from the 6th century B.C. until the 4th century B.C. And Greek was written almost all the New Testament. It is a beautiful, beautiful book. And it addresses the big things of God, the things of life that we have to face. It answers these questions. So on marriage and divorce and remarriage and adultery, obedience to authority, capital punishment, truth-telling, lying, character development, parenting, all of these things. And God teaches, and when He puts it all together, there is not one single contradiction. Impossible, except that it came from God. There was one who gave that message, and the authors wrote their words down. And this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ tells us that this Savior, we love Him and trust Him. And for all of these things, and then they all put together, and no, not one place where it contradicts itself, not one. You say, oh, I know a place where it contradicts itself. You study it. And I'm going to tell you one thing. You just got the wrong interpretation, because God never contradicts Himself. And then when we come to that book, we find that from the Old Testament to the New Testament, from the Garden of Eden until the last day before the Lord comes, there's one thing in particular, and that's Jesus Christ. And the shed blood of Jesus Christ that will help us so that we can have the spotlight is on Jesus. In the Old Testament, we see Him in a pre-incarnate form. In the New Testament, the spotlight is on Jesus, and He comes to save the sinners of poor lost sinners. And all through the New Testament, the Old Testament and the New Testament, there's a trail of blood. It starts in the Garden of Eden where God slays an animal to clothe our parents with a coat of skins. There was blood shed. And they have the Old Testament. You have that sacrifices over and over. The blood of bulls and goats sutter over and over, because the blood of bulls and goats had to be done every year because it never washed away sin. It only covered the sin, covered the sins. And then you come to the New Testament and you come to the cross of Calvary. And Jesus says, "And I, if I be lifted up on the cross, I'll draw all men under me." He knew he was going to die. He came, he's talked about mine hour. He came to die for the sins of the world. And so this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ is placed on that cross, and he sheds his blood, because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And when Jesus shed his blood, it paid for all of the sins of the Old Testament. That's why we don't have the blood of bulls and goats anymore. Jesus paid for them all. They were covered. Now they're washed away. And he paid for all of our sins at this point, and all of our sins as long as we live, as long as we trust Jesus and are born again, they're all washed away and they're all taken away. That's why a suicide, if he's a Christian, will go to heaven when he dies, because those sins, they say he couldn't confess his sins. He didn't need to. He accepted Jesus and confessed his sins to Jesus, and his sins were all covered as long as he lived. Praise God. What a wonderful message to give, a message of hope. And so this dear Lord Jesus Christ, then, all the way through, he's this wonderful Savior. And then sometimes people say, "Well, no, the God of the Old Testament is different than the God of the New Testament. The God of the Old Testament is harsh, and he's cruel, and he's judging, and he's wiping out nations, and he's harsh. But when you come to the New Testament, he's loving, and he's kind, and he's tolerant, and oh, you can do anything you want. He loves you. You can be live like a dog and live like a hog, but you can just be as wicked and reject Jesus. But God loves you." Well, I'm going to tell you something, friends. God does love you, no matter what you committed. He loves you, but that love is going to stop when you die, because after death, the judgment. And when you meet God in the judgment, you won't see the love of God, but you'll see the wrath of God. You say, "Oh, that's not what I heard before." Well, baby, why don't you read your Bible? Look what God says. Look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7, 8, and 9. Let me read them to you. "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God." That is, haven't accepted Jesus, that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. That wonderful Bible is telling us that God loves you and wants you to come to him, but if you just don't turn to him, you're going to have to face the wrath of God. Why, Jesus tells us in the Gospel of John, whosoever, he says, "He that believeth on the Son hath life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." And if you die in your sins, you're going to face the wrath of God. I pray to turn away from it. Come to Jesus. And if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, that love of God will never end. It'll go on and into heaven, and it'll be there in heaven. Faith will be gone and hope will be gone, but the love will be there forever. Come to Jesus. And you do that by simply saying, "Oh, dear Jesus, I just pray that you'll come into my heart and take away my sin. And I'm sorry for my sin, and I'll turn from it the best I can. And I ask you to wash away my sins with your own blood. And then I'll follow you and make you the Lord of my life." And then thank him. And then write to us. And we'll give you some scriptures to help you get started. Get your pencil ready. I'm going to give it in just a few minutes. And you can write, and we'll send you literature. We send it all the time, almost every week. I think every week we send somebody somewhere that to help them out. And so this wonderful Bible, I believe the Bible is the Word of God because it's infallible. That is, it has no errors in it. Dr. Paul Feinberg writes this, and he says, "Inerrancy means that with all the facts are known." By inerrancy, it means that it doesn't have error in it. It has no error, freedom from error. He says, "Inerrancy means that with all the facts are known, scriptures in their original autographs and properly interpreted, will be shown to be wholly true in everything that it teaches, whether that teaching has to do with doctrine, history, science, geology, or any other disciplines of knowledge. It's this wonderful Bible. This wonderful Bible is infallible. And do you remember, you know the story how Johannes Gutenberg invented this printing press, and the first thing he ever printed was the Holy Bible. He taught the Bible. He preached the Bible, and he printed the Bible. That was the first book written. And so this wonderful book, it has no errors, and you can rely upon it entirely. And I'm telling you another reason I think it's the Word of God is because you can't destroy it. Boy, have they tried to put the Bible out of business. Have they tried to destroy the Bible and get rid of it? They've tried everything under the sun. And we've had skeptics that preached against it. And we've had people that tried it, that burned it. And people that have banned it, and countries that have banned it. You know what Jesus said? Heaven and earth shall pass away. My word shall not pass away. He says heaven and earth is going to pass away. The stars are going to pass away. And all of the firmament is going to be gone. But the word of God abideth forever. You better believe it, Buster. And you need to get to God, and you need to start reading that Bible and put your faith in this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. Infidels and skeptics have attacked that Bible for centuries. Since it was first written, it's been an attack, but they never could put it down. And I think of a little poem that I read, and it goes like this. It says, I stood one evening by the blacksmith's door and heard the anvil ring the vesper chime. And looking in, I saw upon the floor old hammers worn with years of beating time. How many anvils have you had, said I, to wear and beat these hammers so? Just one, the blacksmith said with twinkling eye. The anvil wears the hammers out, you know. And so methought the anvil of God's word for ages skeptic blows have beat upon. And though the sound of clanging bows is heard, the anvil is unharmed, the hammers are gone. I believe the Bible, because it's indestructible. And it has witnesses. If we were to go to a court and have a court witness about the Bible being the Word of God, about it standing over the periods of time, and we're going to show how archaeology proves it and science proves it. We've got 3 more sermons on why the Bible is the Word of God. You could preach forever on it and never exhaust it. But if we had a case and we bring in the witness, we have witnesses of the Bible of being the Word of God. We have the witnesses of the Bible itself. We have the witness of the Bible, what the Bible claims. We have the witness of Jesus Christ. We have the witness of archaeology. We have the witness of the Dead Sea Scrolls. We have the witness of fulfilled prophecy. We have the witness of science. We have the witness of history. We have the witness of transformed lives. We have the witness of inerrancy. We have the witness of time. We have witnesses all over the place. The Bible, the Holy Bible, is the Word of God. And so what does the Bible say? Well, the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The Bible says that if you believe in him, he that receiveth the Son, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. And so you say, well, how do you receive Jesus? Well, how do you receive anybody? If somebody knocks on your door, rings your doorbell, you open the door and say, come in. And that's what you do with Jesus right now. He's talking to you. Yeah, I'm not saying you hear a visible, audible voice, but you'll just know in your heart Jesus wants to come into your heart. Revelation 3, verse 20, Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock, the door of your heart. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in, and I'll fellowship with him, I'll cleanse him, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. And as God says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come to Jesus. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. And then your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. You've been born again. And you, when you die, or when the Lord comes, you'll be with the Lord. So I'm praying you'll do that. And I'm going to give you the address now if you want to write to us. And you write to us at Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or you can send a gift if you want to help us on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. We're just praying that you'll turn to Jesus. We're praying that you'll give your heart to the Lord. And then we're praying also for those who are in shut-ins, those who can't get around, can't get about, and maybe some of you are lonely, and maybe some of you are hurting, and maybe some of you are discouraged, and you look to Jesus. He's the light of the world, and he loves you. And he says he'll take us up in our arms. Isaiah says he'll take the lambs up in his arms and carry them. But you know what Isaiah says also? He says he'll take those with the gray heads and he'll carry them in his arms. He loves you. Come to Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, we just help pray that those that you're knocking at heart's door right now, pray that they'll pray that prayer. In their own words, just tell them that to have them to ask you into their life. And Lord, to those who have had troubles, maybe it's not just the old folks. Some of the young people have big decisions to make. Some of them don't know which way to turn. Some of them feel rejected and left out. Help them to know that you love them. You're not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Help them to come to Jesus. And oh, dear Heavenly Father, we just pray that you have your way in every heart and that you'll be exalted and you'll be pleased and you'll be honored in all that we do. We just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we're happy we could be with you and thank you for opening your door for us and spending time with us. Be sure to write to us. I'm going to give you the address again now. Be sure to write. Maybe you can send us a gift to help us in the work. We got to pay our bills just like anybody else. And so you just write, and we're going to be counting on you. God has always provided for us for over 38 years, and we know that he isn't going to stop now. He'll carry us through until our work is done, and then we'll close the books and go home. So you just have a great time trusting Jesus, looking forward to next week, and always remember that God loves you. Even in your sin, he loves you, and he wants you to turn. And we know that the Christian Worship Hour loves you. That's why we put all of this effort. That's why we put all this work. We want you to come to Jesus. And we want to comfort you like Isaiah. Comfort ye, my people. In Jesus' holy name, we do that. Amen.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.